Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles while you're sitting down. Turn to the 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103. Not quite ready to read it yet, but the 103rd Psalm. I'll start today. This is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and I do want to put a little bit of an emphasis on that, and I want to ring the bell a little bit for righteousness. And this is not a political message. This is theology. This is Bible, as what I'm going to preach, right? I want you to remember that as we work our way through this. And let me testify, first of all, because I know some of them are watching this morning. Jan Christian went home to be with the Lord. He is a member from afar here at Fundamental Baptist Church. I know Sandy's watching this morning. And I got to do the funeral down in Grand Rapids last Tuesday. And this country preacher got a little bit of an education down here. Now, I was told this is what it's like, but I did not quite understand completely. So I went down there, Debbie and myself, we traveled down and did the funeral at a church that they did not attend, but the church was good enough to let them use the building. We praise God for that kindness. That's a wonderful thing. But we walked into the most contemporary church I have ever been to in my life. And what I found out afterwards, and we talked for an hour afterwards, just different people coming up to me. They're so hungry for the Word of God. They all told me the same thing. I said, you go to church somewhere in the city. They all said the same thing. There's no place to go. It's all contemporary. So I walk into this church, no Bibles, multi-million dollar building. What they were concerned about was a sound check, all right? And I understood what that was about once I went in and they did the sound check, because all the lights, the smoke machine, all the drums, all of the foolishness, and that's all they were concerned about. No Bible. And I finally said, during the sound check, I said, listen, guys, don't touch the lights. Don't need any of the paraphernalia in operation. Just give me the microphone. And that's what Sandy wanted as well. And I got to stand up and preach. And I'm telling you, 50 plus people received Christ as their Savior. It was utterly amazing. I'm thinking to myself, here we are again. And Grand Rapids used to be called, some of you older people know this, the Little Jerusalem. There were churches everywhere, and there were. I could stand, and when you got a light, a traffic light in your church parking lot, you're somebody, all right? So I'm standing there, and I could look almost every direction. I could see huge ministries, huge church. They're not church. I use the word church very, very loosely and very lightly. When they never heard of the song, I've Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop. Okay, all right, maybe they're a different culture. Did not know the words to Amazing Grace. The special music was provided by a leader there in the church, and he just had an acoustic guitar, but he sang Because He Lives, and I did not hardly recognize the song. I'm thinking, wow, these people are, and in the midst of the service, some of the staff from the church come in, they're standing in the back. And they were just enraptured with what I was saying. And afterwards, I had person after person come up to me. I'm telling you, I got an education. America is darker than what I thought. In church houses, America is darker than what I thought. A man came up to me, a little bit I'm a little bit his senior, but he shook my hand like a man shakes a hand, looked me right in the eye and says, you do not know how refreshing it is to see a man stand up and hold a Bible and preach like a man. I said, I'll take that as a great, great compliment. But people were hungry. They're hungry. And another guy come up to me, and we drove through a storm to get there. Debbie had testified to that. Man, there were people in the ditch, and we were actually going 6 miles an hour on I-75 at one point because of visibility down there. But a man came up to me and said, man, I'm from the Sioux. I must have drove right in your wake getting down here to this funeral. I said, you're from the Sioux? He said, yeah, I'm a teacher out at the prison. I said, well, that's wonderful. Greg Cromie used to work with my wife. I said, yeah, he's my son-in-law. He said, yeah, I know it. And I'm thinking, good night, this guy's haunting me. He goes with me everywhere I go. And an hour later, no embellishment, an hour later, a man walks up to me and says, you're from Kinross? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you know a man named Greg Cromie? Honestly, I said, never heard of them. Psalm 103. Stand with me, please, out of respect for God's word. America's lost its way because America has taken its eye off the ball. No Bible. That's why the gospel isn't being preached in many quarters, in many places, in the majority of places. That's why abortion is reigning. I'm going to say something about that in just a moment. Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful, verse 8, and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Ought to be a big amen right there. Nor reward, I'll say it again. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children. Understand this. God wants to forgive repentant sinners. God desires you, and he loves you, and he wants to forgive you. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Lord, we all need to be reminded that you're a God that forgives sins if we'll just come to you and come by way of the cross. And Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help me to be a Bible preacher this morning. Holy Spirit, would you fill me now and enable me and empower me and God do a work right here in our midst and help me to preach just what you want preached this morning. And Lord Jesus, I ask that if there's someone here that has not found forgiveness of sins or someone here that has not been born again, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would strike a chord in their heart and draw them to the Savior, the only one that can forgive sins. And Lord, may they trust you for salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. I want you to know this morning that there is no big sins and little sins in the life of a human being here on this earth. There are no black sins and no white sins. The Bible says, whosoever keepeth the whole law and yet offended one point, he is guilty of all. So we are all sinners, and no matter what the sin is, there is a balm in Gilead. No matter what the sin is, there's forgiveness at the foot of the cross. Hear me this morning. There is hope. I have read that 1 in 4 women in America have had an abortion. And we're not kicking you in the teeth this morning, whether you did it ignorantly or willingly, willfully. We're not kicking you in the teeth. I want you to know, I want to sound forth the word of God. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. You don't have to carry guilt. You can lay that at the foot of the cross. And understand this. I hope you understand by way of this message this morning. Your little boy or your little girl, they're in heaven. And you're going to see them one day real soon. I can show you that from the word of God. Let's go to the scripture. Let's go look at several passages of scripture. And let's start with Psalm 139. If you'll just turn over there a few pages, page over. Psalm 139. According to the Pew Research Center, as of the end of the year 2021, which is a couple years ago now, 63,459,781 abortions have taken place. Murders of little babies. Last year in Michigan, 930,160 recorded abortions. Last year, I'm sorry, in Michigan, 30,120. In America, 930,160 abortions. Like I already said, 1 in 4 women. That's hard for me to get my mind around. But know this, abortion is not birth control. It is not part of the health culture. It is murder. And if I can show you from the Bible that life starts at conception, then you'll have to agree with me that it is murder. This isn't a Republican or a Democrat thing. As a matter of fact, this makes my heart ache. 67% of the nation of the United States of America believes that abortions ought to be legal. That's because there's no Bible preaching going on. That's because people don't know the word of God. Only 14 states, thank the Lord for overturning Roe versus Wade, because it was bad law. And it's gone back to the states and they make their own choice. But only 14 of the 50 United States that say abortion is illegal. Michigan is not one of those 14 states. We live in darkness. Please, don't let the culture dictate your doctrine. Look at what God says. I say that lovingly. I say that as compassionately as I can. It's what God thinks. That's what matters. Even if America votes, even if Michigan votes and says it's what God thinks, that is the truth. And he is the one that we're, and by the way, he's the source of life. He's the giver of life. And he's the giver of eternal life. So what he says, that's what matters. And that's where I plant my flag. Psalm 139, verse 13. Horse of a different color is still a horse. If I murder a 50-year-old man, or if I murder a 15-year-old man, it's still murder. And again, if I can prove to you that life begins at conception, then you understand it's not political, it's theological. It is a baby that a mother carries within her body. Not tissue matter and not a fetus. It is a baby. It's a boy or it is a girl. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. That's Exodus in chapter 20, and I think it's verse 13. And the Hebrew word for kill there is ratsach. It means murder. War is different. Capital punishment is different. In fact, they're spelled out in the Word of God. But murder, murder is murder. And when a baby, when a human life is taken, that is murder. Psalm 139, look at verse 13. Psalm 139 and verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me, personal pronoun, in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought within the lowest parts of the earth. And that's a metaphor for the mother's body. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, not completely mature. And in thy book, all my members were written. Heaven knows that he or she in the mother's body is a baby. And their name is already recorded in the book of life. It says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. So God in heaven, David says, God in heaven, you knew me before I was ever breathing my first breath. You knew me when I was in my mother's body, when I was in my mother's womb, when all of my body wasn't even yet perfected. You knew who I was, and you recorded my name in the book of life. That's a marvelous truth. So at conception is when life begins. Oh, I'm not done. There's a whole lot more to that. And again, I want to say abortion is birth control, like genocide is population control. Abortion is not birth control. It is murder. It is not health care. It is murder. As a human being, we understand. David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, and have you ever thought about it? We that are a little bit older, you've probably thought about, how does a baby come to be? How is that possible? When those little babies are born, they got their little tiny, tiny fingernails. It's amazing. They all look the same. I know everybody thinks they're, you know, they all look like little old men, naked, wrinkled little old men, pot bellies, their heads bigger than their body. I mean, I look at them, and, but when it's your kid, it looks a whole lot different. Now, when I visit newborns, you know, moms and newborns, I act like, oh, what a pretty baby. I've never seen a pretty baby in my life. I truthfully have not. Opinion, I know, opinion, right? But David, in a God-breathed declaration, said that life begins at conception, and God knows who they are and their name. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. Turn over there, would you please? Jeremiah chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. God is the source of life. He individually creates. You are not to take life into your hands. You don't have that right, and I don't have that right. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is Jeremiah the prophet, the weeping prophet. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. This is God speaking. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I had sanctified thee. Already done. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God's communication to Jeremiah is, Jeremiah, when you were in your mother's body, I had already ordained you. I knew exactly who you were. You were already a human being. Then there's a baby's proclamation. So what we have is we have David's God-breathed proclamation, Jeremiah, God the Father, his proclamation through Jeremiah the prophet. And now let's look at John the Baptist here. Luke in chapter 1 and verses 36 through 45. I'm not going to read it all, but Luke chapter 1. I'll summarize some of it. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. By the way, Jesus, when he, born of a virgin, but when he was conceived in Mary's body, he was Jesus right then. Verse 36 says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So what we read of here is two miracle births. One birth to old people, and he becomes a prophet. The other birth to a virgin, and he is the Son of God. And verse 38 says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. That's John the Baptist's parents. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the baby leaped in her womb. Not the fetus, the baby, not tissue matter. The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Amen. You find a New Testament Bible theologian, a New Testament Bible preacher that'll tell you that abortion is right, and I'll show you an apostate. Amen. Someone who does not believe the Word of God. On the other hand, I can point to all kinds of ministries, right and left of us, all kinds of people that know their Bible, all different walks of life, and they all agree. Because by the Bible and God makes it abundantly clear. And by the way, when a lady has a baby, she's 6 months pregnant, 3 months pregnant, 8 months pregnant, big as a house, whatever it is. Does anybody ever go, your baby, is it a boy or a girl? Did they ever come up and say, oh, what a beautiful fetus? You know, isn't it good that God has blessed you with a fetus? We all call it a baby because there's something inside us put there by God, and it's very obvious. The baby's proclamation, it was real. John was preaching from the womb. Imagine that. A fetus, some tissue matter, prophesying from the womb, from his mother's body. I say that tongue in cheek. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew in chapter 18. Turn back there. Matthew 18. There really isn't any wiggle room for this. And again, I want to say, this is not political. It's not. And to me, I'll go political this far. Number one issue for me on who I'm going to vote for. Number one, it's more important than my taxes. It's more important than my pocketbook. It's more important than something I belong to is abortion. Where does that man stand? Where does that party stand on abortion? Number two, I'm pro-life. I'm pro-life. I want to see people get saved. I want to be born again. I'm pro-life all the way. I'm pro-Israel all the way. I'm pro-family all of the way. That's it. I vote with my Bible. And don't say, no, I've talked to people. They say, well, I just believe they ought to have their choice. That sounds like Saul of Tarsus standing and watching the garments as Stephen is being stoned. And he gave consent to them. He didn't throw a stone. He was just letting them have their choice. I will remind you that Saul of Tarsus got converted. That Saul of Tarsus became a New Testament Christian, and he was a changed man. So don't you, what kind of New Testament Christianity says, you go ahead and kill if you want to kill, when you can voice your opinion against it? You think about that, and you'll stand before God one day on that one big issue. That's a big issue. Christ loves children. I see that all over the Word of God. I was going to look back at David here. I may have time to yet. First, let's go to Matthew 18. I think you're already there. Verses 1 through 6. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him. He sees a little Johnny over there. He says, come, I don't know if it was a boy or a girl, but Johnny, come here, come here. And set him in the midst of them. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You don't come to Jesus with all of your baggage and telling him how you're going to get saved. That's not how it works. Then you come surrendered, repentant of your sin, you get born again, just like a child. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend, listen to this, one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Turn a page over to chapter 19 and verse 13. Then were there brought unto him, that's Jesus, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked him. Little children were brought unto Jesus. I think this must have been a beautiful thing, a beautiful picture. And Jesus placed his hands on them and blessed them. And he prayed for them, put them up on his knee. He loves little children. He said, it'd be better if you mistreat my little children. It'd be better that a millstone were hanged about your neck and you were thrown in the deepest part of the sea. Those little babies that are being murdered all over the state of Michigan. Every time the clock ticks, babies are leaving. Man, that is heartbreaking. How that must grieve when the Church of Jesus Christ is standing here condemning it or condoning it instead of condemning it. So many people that claim to be born again and they think abortion is some kind of constitutional right. Makes no sense to me at all. In light of the scripture, no sense to me at all. What kind of New Testament Christianity is that? Don't take one life. Here's the deal. When somebody gets murdered, when somebody gets aborted, hey, aren't you glad God doesn't abort his children?
Amen.
Because I deserve to be aborted. Man, I turn my back on God. Aren't you glad he just says, that's it? Doesn't say, that's it, you're cut off? That's not it. That's not how it works. Psalm 103, we started with that. All right, but when a child is aborted, you understand the population of Michigan decreasing? I know some of it's the economy, but all across the United States, high schools, less in number, fewer people playing football than ever before and playing sports. What's happening to all? Where's the population gone? Abortion. And it isn't just these nearly 670 million people that have been aborted since the early 70s. Those people will be great-grandparents by now. And grandparents. We're talking about a whole family, whole tribes of people, whole clans of people in all kinds of directions. And we're reaping what we've sowed. That's a terrible thing. And Christ admonishes, you love the children. Hands off those children. You don't, how abortion must look barbaric from heaven's shore. But we're modern and we're civilized. You ever watch an abortion, a video? There's nothing civilized about it. I encourage you to do so. Anybody that's here that's for abortion, anybody watching that's for abortion, I encourage you to have enough guts to look at it. Watch it, watch a video, and see what goes on. Ronald Reagan made one great, many, but one of his great quotes were, I noticed that everybody is for abortion has been born already. And I thought, man, that is so true. We're such a selfish people. Again, it's not birth control. Don't think that for a moment. Let's come back full circle. 2 Samuel, go back to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, I'm quickly running out of time. 2 Samuel, and all the way down to verse 23. 2 Samuel, chapter 7 and verse, I think I want chapter 12. Chapter 12, that's it. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23 says, but now he is dead. Now, I'll give you the background because we don't have time to read it. David committed sin. He committed sin with Bathsheba. There were terrible consequences, fourfold consequences as far as the judgment of God upon his life. But one of the things that happened is that illegitimate baby died. Bathsheba's baby boy died. David's baby son died. David was beside himself. While that baby was still alive, David was fasting and praying. He knew he had done wrong. He confessed his sin. Man, he's just done God wrong, done Bathsheba wrong, done Israel wrong. And he confesses that, and he's crying out to God, God, let the baby live. God, let the baby live. And he's actually getting sick. as the days go by, and his advisors are concerned about him, and the baby dies. The advisors look at one another and said, who's going to tell him? And they, one of them got enough guts, went up to David and told him the baby is dead. David got up off his knees, washed his face, put on clean clothes. And they said, and look what he says in verse 23. But now he is dead. Wherefore I should fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. He's saying that baby's already in heaven. That baby's already in paradise. By the way, that's the God that we worship. He's a just and merciful God. A little baby, and I can stand on this passage alone, but a little baby that isn't old enough to know that they're a sinner and isn't old enough to understand the message of the gospel, when they die, God takes them home. God, so that aborted baby, already in heaven, he's there waiting for you. She's there waiting for you. You can take great consolation in that. And God loves you anyway, and God loves me anyway. In closing, let's go back to Psalm 103. 103rd Psalm, again. Psalm 103 and verse 12. So we are pro-life. We are anti-death. I'm pro-eternal life. I am anti-hell. The message of the Bible is very consistent. We didn't look there this morning, but God is the source of life. God is the giver of life. Every baby that's born into this world, every baby that's conceived here in this world, that was the will of God. And it's God, it's only God's right to take that life. He is the giver and the taker of life. Job said, who am I to question God? God is God. The message is, we're pro-life here, but the message is also this: God forgives sins. If you're a young lady, an older lady, and you can look back in your past, say, man, I had an abortion. Man, God forgives you of your sin. All you have to do is ask him. The forgiveness is there. You don't have to carry that guilt. There's a happy baby waiting for you in heaven. I promise you that, with the authority of Scripture and the Word of God. And here's the church's job. We're to forgive. We're to forgive and help those that are hurting. There may even be someone watching live stream or listening to a radio broadcast, and they've recently had an abortion and they're full of regrets. And that happens time and time and time again. Man, we're to forgive those people. If they come to God, we're no different than they are. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And we're to minister to them. That's part of the job of the Church of Jesus Christ. And we're not to forget that. Yeah, they made a poor choice, and that poor choice led to bad sin. And there were repercussions of that sin. And then there are scars, and there are tears. But God forgives, and who are we not to forgive? We too, as a ministry, as a New Testament local church, we're to forgive as well. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Stand with me, please. Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Praise God for his grace, for his mercy. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Man, I love that. You know, from here to heaven, there's the bridge to heaven. It's mercy. It's that deep. The mercy of God is that deep. As far as the east is from the west, by the way, that's immeasurable. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. There's a great God in heaven. Let me testify this morning. There is a balm in Gilead. There is forgiveness at the foot of the cross. There is hope for you and me and every sinner, if we'll just come to Christ. And no sin is any bigger than any other sin. We broke the law of God. We've transgressed the Decalogue. And that's why a Savior has come.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.